Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We've just been having a little fun in the studio here. We're hoping to get through it today without too much laughter. Last week, we were studying the sinful woman. And wow, what a picture of her at Jesus' feet. You know, and she gave him her treasure. A year's worth of perfume. And this time we're going to be studying about our heavenly treasure. And we're going to be studying in Luke 12.
Verses
13 through 21, and it is about the rich, foolish man.
It's a hard lesson, so maybe it will draw laughter, but it may draw more tears than laughter. This passage falls in the section of Scripture where Jesus is giving a series of warnings and encouragements, and then it comes before the section about do not worry, and then watchfulness. So that kind of gives us an idea of how it's embedded. So Jesus is pointing out to the crowds that his brothers and sisters, his father, you know, they're all the brothers and sisters are those that serve the Father with him. And a Pharisee ends up inviting him to the house, and people start testing, and he's trying to get them to grasp the importance of inner righteousness, to have their mindset on that which is eternal and not what is in this temporal world. And he's countering the hypocrisy that's going on, and he's challenging the disciples to think about guarding their hearts against the yeast of the Pharisees. And that's what leads up to this section where in Luke 12, 13 through 21, our Bible begins. And then somebody in the crowd just approached Jesus and says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me." And Jesus says, "Man, who made me your judge or arbitrator between the two of you?" And Jesus turned and he looked at the crowds and he says, "Watch out and be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist on the abundance of his possessions." And then, as Jesus always does, he began to give a parable, and he said, "A certain rich man's land produced a good crop, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' So he said, 'I know what I will do. I will tear down my barns, and I'll build bigger ones, and there I'll store my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to the man, 'You fool, for this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then what will happen with what you prepared for yourself?' So Jesus looked at the crowd and he said to them, 'This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God.' May God honor the storing of his word." This passage, it has quite a bit in it, It's a deep text, but it's a very short text, and it's a very short parable. Yeah. I mean, some of the parables can go really long. One of the things that really struck me as I was preparing, I'm like, God, that's kind of short.
It's just right to the point.
Yeah. Do you think we could get enough material that we could cover a whole 4 weeks?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I started taking notes. The next thing I know, I'm thinking, okay, once again, I'm going to have more than I could possibly even begin to give out. The first thing I want us to catch is that Jesus is amongst the people, and this person comes up in the crowd. And what is it the person comes up and wants Jesus to do for him? Let's talk about this person in the crowd. What does he want?
He wants to have him split the inheritance with him and his brother.
Okay.
He wants to take care of it.
All right. So
money.
There's a dispute.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that he is thinking eternally as he's talking about this?
The man?
Yeah, the man in the crowd.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. According to their culture, the way things were is the firstborn received the largest portion of the inheritance, and then what was left over, I think it's almost like two-thirds, what was left over of that portion after that portion was then divided amongst all the other brothers. And so what this man is actually asking is for Jesus to come and be almost like a judge like we would have in the court systems here to decide on a land dispute. Mm-hmm. That's what he's asking. And his focus is on trying to get more because his brother obviously is the one who's inheriting the larger portion. He's trying to get him to give out more of this wealth. And what I love about this passage, here this person comes up, and he's all centered on that which he wants. You know, I want part of my inheritance. And he comes up and asks Jesus to do this, and Jesus doesn't deal with what he wants. He always goes to what the greater need is. And so instead of focusing in on what is the temporal of what he's thinking is important is his inheritance, Jesus sees that there's a principle that needs to be dealt with. And so then he dives in and begins to bring it. And so that's where we're going to, for the most part, spend our focus this month, is how Jesus changes it from the man's focus on the temporal and brings it into the eternal. So what did Jesus respond to that man? How did he respond? What did he say to him?
He seems to cut to the root of the problem rather than saying, oh, well, what's the case? What's the scenario? Who's right? What's just? He says, you're being greedy. Mm-hmm. Watch out against this kind of greed, because a man's life doesn't consist of all of his wealth and the abundance of his possessions. It's worth more than that. It's a different kind of value.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're exactly right. And he just goes in and this is what it is, but he asks him a question before he points it out. He wants him to understand Jesus didn't come on this earth to be an earthly judge. Mm-hmm. He needed him and the crowd to grasp. So this is a very big spiritual lesson beyond just the fact that he's focusing on greed. They're thinking he is the ruler that's come, you know, as a Roman ruler kind of concept. And he is once again reminding them, I'm not here as ruler and judge. And then he begins to reveal what he is there to reveal. Mm-hmm. And that is the ruler of the heart, okay, to help us with our heart. And that's where he brings up the condition of the greed. And so as he brings this up, he points out, he's talking to the man. He says to the man, he gives the man a question.
He always questions, doesn't he?
Yeah. But then he turns to the crowd and he begins to explain to the crowd. And I thought, okay, so here we have this man who's put a question before Jesus, and it's a classroom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He has turned it into a classroom, a teachable moment.
Mm-hmm. And the man knew, because he called him teacher, mm-hmm. so he knows he's going to teach.
That's exactly it. And he turns to them, and he's like, okay, let's do this. We're going to focus in on the spiritual condition. And his issue was greed, mm-hmm. as Janelle mm-hmm. nailed for us. And so as we think on greed, what, describe it, what does it look like?
Selfishness.
Okay.
Yeah, focused on your own
your
own wants. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not necessarily wants. Yep. You're right. Yeah.
So it may not necessarily be something.
It's not money necessarily.
Okay.
It's your time, it's your energy, it's anything you have that you could use for God that you're not using.
Right.
That's greed. If you're using it just for yourself.
Exactly. And he says to the man, he says to the crowd, guard against all kinds mm-hmm. of greed. Mm-hmm. He's wanting the crowd to get this in a broader perspective and the guarding of the heart. Covetousness was defined, and what he's pointing out is this man has a want of covetousness. Mm-hmm. He's wanting something. Mm-hmm. And we know in Exodus 20:17, if somebody be willing to look that up for us, let us know when you get to it. Covetousness is defined as an unlawful desire of the property of another or the desire to gain riches beyond necessary wants or needs.
You got it.
Okay, and so when we want something so bad that we're willing to move beyond, hurt somebody else, or it's beyond what we really need, that's when it becomes covetousness. Okay, read Exodus 20:17.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor.
Okay. So it starts with the outside, moves to the people, moves mm-hmm. to the servants, moves to the property. I mean, it's any aspect. So greed can cover a multitude of things, as we are covering. But what it is the issue of the heart is covetousness, is that this man wanted his brother's inheritance. Mm-hmm. He wasn't content with what God had given him with where he was at. And so he's trying to help him move beyond that. So one of the questions that I was asking myself as I was doing this is, how does covetousness harm me? How does it harm me? And then how does it harm those around me? So think about it. Whenever I have something that I want, how does it harm me and how does it harm those around me when I'm coveting something?
I think you said it, you know, it's like when we covet something, sometimes we do anything to get it.
Okay.
You know, whether it is, like you said, to hurt somebody or, you know, and I think you do it without even thinking sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that's why we've got to be guarding our heart, that, you know, our attitude, our heart is about God and not about what we want.
Mm.
You know, because we do, I know, my fleshly self does that.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's very good. When I think of the harm that it does, I'm thinking that I rob myself of what I could have, a greater good. So if I'm wanting something, that means I'm not living in contentment where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was going back to different times in my life of different times that I've really wanted something, and seeing how it ended up actually robbing me of joy in the moment, it robbed me of contentment in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It robbed me of pleasure, of thankfulness with God. And so I started seeing things that it actually, it's almost like it's a robber when I allow covetousness to come into my heart. Mm-hmm. And so as I started pondering it, I was like, really, it's almost like I'm allowing myself to become a thief of what God intends to be the better in our life.
Right. Well, we're replacing him.
We are,
you know,
and people, and relationships, and so it's a dangerous thing when we allow it to grow, and that's why he wants us to guard it. And just thinking back of times when, you know, I've allowed that covetousness to happen, it causes a barrier to be built, and that was one of the things that I saw that ended up being really bad for me is that. I can go back and look at distinct moments where relationships may have been broken or ministries hindered. Mm-hmm. God forgive me for both, but that is the reality when I've had covetousness. And it has hindered me from being in the full measure of what he intended me to walk. And so the minute it comes up, the minute I have covetousness rise up inside me, I've got to be willing to recognize it and to slay it. Literally, you know, say, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going there. I need to be thankful for who I am. I need to be thankful for where I'm at. I need to be thankful for what I'm doing. I need to be thankful for what God has given me and move forward in that thankfulness.
I think, too, that there's an important distinction between the greed that he's talking about here and how it's so earthly focused. And there's so many, like, you want possessions and physical things. And you know, he says that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. It kind of implies that it does consist of the abundance of his faith in God, his joy that he finds in God.
Yes.
So if we can find our desire and our delight in spiritual things, in seeking more of God, desire is not a bad thing.
No.
It's just what we're desiring that's the problem.
Totally.
Sometimes, too, though, it could be not a possession. It could be a relationship.
Yeah.
So, so desiring a marriage like they have, desiring a child when you can't have one.
Oh yeah.
Desiring a friendship like those two have a friendship, you know.
Right. Right.
So not
it's not always possession.
Yeah.
A lot of those most times it isn't.
I think it's those are the hardest ones to get over, and it causes the divide.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when you're in it and you're emotional about it, it's harder to separate and distance yourself and call it what it is. And back up from it, but then on the other side of it, when you see it for what it is, the division that the other people may not even know about, but it's
true.
Inside of you,
so true.
Towards them, and then towards God. But it's just, you know, at the end of the day, life's hard. We all have our difficulties, but it really comes down to having your satisfaction in the Lord, like Christ alone.
Right.
Whether it's possessions, relationships, babies, whatever.
Yeah.
Life is hard.
It is. Mm-hmm. And the key is, and this is where we're going to want to keep the focus, Janelle's nailed it, is to keep it, where is my treasure?
Mm-hmm.
So where I store my treasure, that's where our heart will be.
Right.
And or where our, what we store, what is, did I say that right?
I can't even tell if I said that right. You know,
you'll know where your heart is. Yeah, you'll know where your heart is.
Right. Based on, you know what your treasure is by what you do with your heart, whatever. Yes, I think I said that wrong. Yeah, I see that moment. It's just that moment that's gone.
We know, like, we know the gist of it.
But so when we're thinking about how to, what I need to build up, okay, let's focus in on what Janelle just pointed out. So if covetousness is a robber and all kinds of greed can rob us, what is it that we need to train our thoughts toward so that we guard our heart? Because he says to guard it. He's like, guard against all kinds of greed. What do I need to do? What do you do when it comes up inside you? How do you deal with it and how do you counter it?
Well, I think Tanya just said it. You know, at the end of the day or at the end of the moment or whatever, you're when you figure out the greed that's in your heart or what you need to stop. And pretty much get on your knees and ask for help because
in the moment.
They help in the moment.
In the moment. And so does that mean that I have to look past my emotions from what Tanya just said? Remember what she said? Mm-hmm. That even though my emotions are riding high,
yep.
You know, and I, you know, and I'll be the hard. First to confess that when it comes to my Greg, my emotions can shoot through the roof so fast to where I can just become vicious.
Yeah.
Quickly, if I have something I'm coveting that I want, that I expect as an expectation with my Greg.
Well, I think there's the key word.
Yeah.
We have such expectations, like relationship, we're talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we expect it. And you know what? We just expect too much.
We do. And that's where we want to go and focus on the internal
right.
And making sure that it's a God-given thing that we're in pursuit of. To be heavenly minded. And you know, and people say, oh, well, you can be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I'm going to say that that's not true.
I don't think that's true.
I think that that's another one of those lies from the pit of hell, Tanya.
Yeah, I love that.
Because here's the deal. If we are heavenly minded, that means we're definitely going to care about what's eternally and earthly good for those around us.
Maybe it's misplaced heavenly mindedness.
Yeah. Maybe that's it.
Maybe so. And so what I want you to do is I want you to come back next week and talk with us and dialogue with us and listen as we talk about the foolish rich man. And we're going to go in a little bit deeper and a little further into how does it look like to put to death that which is not of God. And we're going to look at how to get those things out. What is it we need to get out of us and how we need to pursue further so that we can have our hearts guarded so that we're in pursuit of him. We're so glad that you are listening to Cultivating Hearts. And we just thank those that are donors that give to the Open Door Mission so that this radio ministry is possible. And you can contact us at tararye.com or cultivatinghearts.org or opendoormission.org. God bless.